Welcome to the premier podcast of Weapons of Math Instruction. I'm your host, Zeke Vogler, and today I'm going to discuss exponential functions. Before we begin, I would like to talk about what the podcast is versus what is not. This is an educational podcast designed to run alongside of Professor Kubra's Calculus 2 class at UC Davis. If you're looking to get better at solving math problems, this is not the podcast for you. For that, you'll want to check out my Twitch math channel, at Prof. Zekius. But this podcast is designed to provide a quick overview of the class material and complement it with more enlightenment. For those of you that want a more visual experience, I've posted show notes for you to follow along with. To get the most out of this podcast, I highly encourage you to use them, since math is difficult to explain and digest in audio form only. I will provide verbal cues to help you navigate through these notes. Lastly, to create anything of value, like this podcast, it takes a village. I'd like to thank all my friends that listened to the first few drafts and gave me their feedback. You know who you are, and if you're listening again, there's a couple Easter eggs that I challenge you to find and report back to me. For new listeners, thank you for lending me your ears. I hope you enjoyed the show. To start a discussion, I'd like to talk about a Japanese anime called Naruto. Naruto is a teenager in ninja school, and while he's not a very good ninja, he does have a special move called the Shadow Clone Jutsu. This jutsu allows him to copy himself for various reasons, whether overwhelm opponents and pin them down, or accomplish tasks that require more than himself. Later in the show, he has the realization that his clones can learn and transfer this information to him. So he can accelerate his development by using his clones to learn a skill and get more repetitions in. A useful tool to, if he wanted to, say, solve 100 calculus problems. He could just make 100 copies, and each copy does one, and he'll learn from all those copies. A very awesome power indeed. Looking at the Shadow Clone Jutsu through the lens of math, we can attempt to build a model of this phenomena, where the goal is to build a function that can predict how many clones exist after a given amount of time. As with all math models, we need to make a couple assumptions. Let's assume Naruto can clone himself every second, and his clones have this ability as well. So after 1 second, there'll be two clones, Naruto and himself. After 2 seconds, there'll be four, because both branch off to two more. After 3 seconds, there'll be eight. There's a diagram in the show notes that illustrates this. To construct our function, we need to look at the pattern of the number of clones, which goes from 2 to 4 to 8. The pattern is more recognizable when we rewrite these numbers as 2 to the first, 2 to the second, 2 to the third, at time 1, 2, 3 seconds respectively. From here, we can deduce that after n seconds, there'll be 2 to the n clones. So our model function is f of n equals 2 to the n, where n is the number of seconds since he started casting his Shadow Clone Jutsu. With this function in hand, we now can make some predictions. After 10 seconds, there'll be 2 to the 10, or slightly over 1,000 clones. After 20 seconds, there'll be 2 to the 20, which is over 1,000,000 clones. Quite a formidable army of ninjas indeed. This model is unrealistic for many reasons. One reason is we're not considering limited factors. Even in the show, there's something called chakra, a ninja's energy source, which would limit Naruto's ability to create clones. To make a more accurate model, we would need to consider things like chakra. The model we constructed, 2 to the n, is something we call an exponential function. The definition of an exponential function, written as show notes, has the general form of b to the x. Exponential functions require two numbers to make it precise. There's the base number, which is the object being copied, much like Naruto clones, and the power, which is the number of times it's being copied, or the multiplication count. For example, 3 to the 7 means you have 7 copies of 3 multiplied together, or we could view this as 7 threes in a multiplication basket. Circling back to our Naruto model, 2 to the n, this just translates to repeated multiplication of 2 n times. Thus, the big takeaway here is exponential functions are repeated multiplication. Now that we know that exponential functions are just repeated multiplication of an object, lower number, based on its count, higher number, we can build an algebra or bookkeeping of counts on the powers. This algebra leads to the properties of exponential functions as displayed in the show notes. For the first rule, consider 2 to the fifth times 2 cubed. That means we have 5 copies of 2 multiplied by 3 copies of 2, and we will get 5 plus 3 or 8 copies of 2. Thus, 2 to the fifth times 2 cubed is 2 to the eighth. This example is analogous to having a basket of 5 apples and a basket of 3 apples. You combine them for a basket of 8 apples, which leads us to believe in the fact that outside multiplication is inside addition for exponential functions. For the second rule, consider 2 to the fifth divided by 2 cubed. And so you'll have 5 copies of 2 upstairs and 3 copies of 2 downstairs. 3 of them will cancel, so you're left with 5 minus 3 or 2 copies of 2. Thus, 2 to the fifth divided by 2 cubed equals 2 squared, which leads us to the fact that outside division equals inside subtraction. As an example of the third rule, consider 2 to the fifth all raised to the third power. So that means we have 5 twos in a basket and we have 3 copies of those baskets because of the third power. We could use multiplication to know that we have 5 times 3 copies of 2 or 15. Thus, 2 to the fifth all raised to the third power equals 2 to the 15. Thus, we're led to believe that outside powers equal inside multiplication for exponential functions. To complete this algebra, we're going to need to integrate division and roots into this picture, which will lead to different disguises for division and roots. For the first disguise, consider 1 over 2 cubed, which is 2 to the minus 3. So that division is just a negative multiplication count. We do this so that the negative count of division will cancel with the positive count of multiplication. For the second disguise, consider the square root of x. We rewrite this as x to the 1/2 power, so roots become fractional powers. We do this because we need the roots to cancel powers. Consider, for example, the cube root of x cubed. We know they should cancel and become x. Now we can rewrite the cube root as the 1/3 power. That 1/3 power will eventually multiply by the third power. They will cancel, become 1 or the single power, and we'll recover x again as we should. These two disguises for division and roots, which are referred to as power form, are extremely useful for calculus, because the power rule of derivatives and integrals highly depend on them. While the original forms, which I refer to as algebra forms, will be useful for computations and obtaining a numeric answer, your success in calculus will highly depend on your ability to transfer between these forms quickly and effectively. I'll even take it one step further. I think it's going to be hard for you to pass a calculus class without your ability to go between these two forms, the power form and the algebra form. One more thing you need to know about exponential functions is how to quick graph it. To quick graph any function, you need to know a base point along with its basic shape. The base point for an exponential function is 0, 1, because b to the 0 equals 1 for any base. For the basic shape, you can look at the palm of your right hand. If you squinch the palm of your right hand, the topmost crease going left to right is the basic shape of the exponential function. Palm readers call this the heart line. As a recap, the 5 basic rules of exponential functions you need to know is outside multiplication is inside addition, outside division is inside subtraction, outside powers are inside multiplication, division is just a negative multiplication count, and roots are a fractional power. You might think these English phrases are just silly, but there's a method to my madness. Anyone studying human memory knows that the more connections you have to a fact or idea, the easier it is to remember. As you progress through your math career, you're going to be expected to know more and more facts, and constructing English phrases is a great trick to help you remember them. On the topic of memory, there's a great course here at UC Davis on it. It's Psychology 130 on Human Memory. I audited it many years ago, and in my opinion, it's one of the best classes to up your game as being a great student. We're going to step away from math for a moment and talk about another character from Naruto, Rock Lee. Relative to the other students, Rock has huge disadvantages because he can't do ninja magic and he isn't from a ninja family. But he overcomes these shortcomings through hard work and determination. Every failure inspires him to work harder and practice more. Many of his scenes revolve him to do ridiculous workouts like over 1,000 push-ups and pull-ups. He's referred to as the genius of hard work in the show. I'd like to read a quote from the show that encompasses his philosophy. Quote, "My motto is to be stronger than yesterday. If I have to, I'll be stronger than a day ago, even a minute ago." End quote. Out of all the ninjas in the show, he would be my pick to be the best mathematician. It takes a lot of work to be good at math and much perseverance to move past your failures and mistakes. Hell, I still make math mistakes all the time. Want evidence? Come watch my math channel. But I know, like all good mathematicians, with enough time and patience, you could overcome them. Getting back to our main topic, while there's an infinite number of exponential functions, one for each base, there is a very special one, e to the x, where e is Euler's number. There are many ways to write Euler's number. You can write it as a limit or infinite sum. Both are illustrated on the show notes, but most people know it in its approximate decimal form of 2.71. Like the number pi, you could only approximate e because it's an unwritable number, in the sense that if you try to write it as a decimal, it will never stop and never continuously repeat a block of digits. We call these irrational numbers. The limit definition of e allows us to bridge the gap between discrete and continuous compound interest, where the continuous interest is thought of as compounded an infinite times a year, which is equivalent to taking a limit to infinity. This leads us to the PERT formula, or the amount equals p times e to the rt. Now we're going to talk about the derivative of exponential functions. E to the x is very special because it is immune to derivatives. I'm serious, it is immune to derivatives. It laughs them off. The derivative of e to the x is e to the x. And it's crazy to think that out of all the functions in existence, there's precisely one function that's immune, and that is e to the x, while all other functions change when hit by a derivative. As an example of this, if we take the derivative of b to the x, where b isn't e, we gotta pay a fee for not being cool like e. So the derivative of b to the x is b to the x times natural log of b, where natural log of b is the fee for not being cool like e. Now we're going to discuss the chain versions of these rules. So let's assume f of x is a mystery function. So the derivative of e raised to the power of f of x is e to the f of x by immunity times the derivative of f of x. And the derivative of b to the f of x equals b to the f of x times the natural log b, which is your phi, times the derivative of f of x. These rules are displayed in the show notes. The major takeaways here are that e to the x is immune to derivatives, and b to the x has a phi of natural log b. Lastly, e to the x is the exponential function of choice by mathematicians, not only because of its derivative immunity, but because of another secret that will become unveiled during the next episode on logarithmic functions. Now, it's time for the question of the day. I would like you to try to think more like a mathematician and find a phenomena connected to the world around you, whether it's real or fantasy, and try to think of a function that could attempt to model it, like I did with the Naruto example. For simplicity, I'd recommend you try a function of one variable, one input, and one output. You can post the answer on my Discord. I will have a group of judges who will decide a winner, and that winner will get a free hour of tutoring from yours truly. And that will do it for this episode. I'm Zeke Vogler, and you can find me at Prof Zekius, ProfZekius, on Twitter or on Twitch, where I'll be streaming math content. Thank you for listening, and thank you for wanting to be more math educated.